Good morning. The time is 9:07. It is Wednesday, July the 31st of 2024. Currently 72 degrees in downtown Wausau. Some partly cloudy skies at our studios at the corner of North 3rd Street and Washington Street in downtown Wausau. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And if you'd like to join us, you can go to Facebook, Facebook.com, go to the Bow Falls Radio page, and you can see a video stream and add your questions and comments there on Facebook. Also, you can join us by giving us a call or a text, 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. You can call or text at that very same number. So again, you can join us that way or through the Civic Media app. If you have not downloaded the Civic Media app yet, do so, because we would love to have you be part of the program as well through that. And you have a text button, got a call button, got an email button, can go to our website, can listen to a stream. I mean, it's all right there on the Bow Falls Radio page of the Civic Media app. Coming up here in hour number two of the show, in just a few minutes, we'll be joined by Anya Hannington, who is the Marketing and Communications Coordinator at the Grand Theater and the Performing Arts Foundation, and be talking a little comedy, I think, talking about some of the comedy that'll be coming to the Grand Theater during the course of the 2024-2025 season. So that's Anya Hannington coming up in just a few minutes. And then at 9:34, we'll continue to talk about the arts and entertainment that you can be partaking of here in North Central Wisconsin. As again, we'll talk to from the South Beach Chamber Ensemble, Michael Andrews, is coming up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Piano trios. We talked about string quartets in the shows last week. We'll talk about the Beethoven and Beach piano trios that will be performing Thursday at the Woodson Art Museum here in Wausau, Friday up at the St. Matthias Episcopal Church in Minocqua, and then Saturday at the Chestnut Center for the Arts in Marshfield. So again, that will be Michael Andrews with us at 9:34. Before we go any further, I need to say good morning once again to our in-studio engineer and our producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Coming up later in the program as well, in our final segment, we'll have our daily history lesson. We'll have our number for the day quiz, as you are now 1-for-2 this week.
Yes, I am.
Chance to clinch a winning week with a correct answer today on our number for the day. Would you like a little clue on the subject matter again for our number
day?
Give you a chance to stew and maybe think about what direction we may go in when it comes to our number for the day.
What is the topic for today's number?
The topic for the day, for the number for the day, mattresses. A little bit different. So mattresses is our subject matter that we will have a question based somewhere within the subject matter of mattresses to wrap up the show and see whether or not
an interesting number probably, because there is a lot of mattresses in the world.
Well, it doesn't have to be number of mattresses in the world, but it could be. I will also give another hint. The number is a big number. It is so you're right on that count. It is a big number that we're going to be dealing with coming up in the final minutes of our program. So
I will be thinking about it.
And if you get it right, that means you'll clinch a winning week.
Yes.
You like to do that as early as possible.
Absolutely, because then I have a chance to improve even more.
We talked about our guest coming up, and of course, the Grand Theater with its great performances, the South Beach Chamber Ensemble with their performances, and you're getting ready for a performance because we're just about 2 weeks away now from opening night.
That's right.
And again, you're with the River and Woods Theater Company, one of the local theater groups here in Central Wisconsin, and they have Shakespeare in the Park coming up.
That's
not one, but two productions, right?
Uh-huh. Yep. Performances are 2 weeks from tomorrow. That's August 15th, 16th, and 17th. And we do have two shows. There's a show for kids, and it's a show for adults. The kids show is a Midsummer Night's Dream, and that will be at 2 p.m. And then in the evening, the adult show will be the Taming of the Shrew, and that will be at 6 p.m.
When you say show for the kids and show for the adults, does that mean for the performers, right? I mean, the Midsummer Night's Dream has a bunch of young performers, correct?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
because I want to make sure that folks know that.
Dream doesn't mean all kids.
Yeah, the cast are the kids' casting is for that show, and then the adults are casting the other show. But it doesn't mean that adults can't go and see a Midsummer Night's Dream or younger folks.
You want to see both shows? I recommend you see both shows because they'll be very entertaining.
And you are part of the show featuring the adult cast.
Yes.
Taming of the Shrew. And,
yes, I am playing a very funny character by the name of Gremio. He's an older gentleman who's very rich, but he's not the brightest bulb.
So this week you are busy, and in addition to being here in the morning, you spend much of the afternoon at our booth at the Wisconsin Valley Fair.
We did have a lot of people that were showing up at the fair, especially in the later afternoon. I'd say by around 3 to 3:15 is when a lot more people were starting to come in and walk around the building more. But probably the most people probably came during the later evening.
Right. I
know that after I was driving home from the from rehearsal yesterday, I was driving on the highway. I was looking over to the area where the fair is, and they actually were shooting off fireworks. It was a very impressive set of fireworks. I could see quite a few of them were going very high up in the air. So very entertaining to see that. I didn't even realize that they were going to do fireworks at the fair this year, so that was a nice surprise.
Well, number one, it's great to be able to have a chance to see and talk to the folks, and again, once we're done with the show, I'll be heading back over to Marathon Park and go to our booth, be there for a few hours, and then you'll come and replace me, give me an opportunity to get out of the heat for at least a little while.
Yes, absolutely.
Between 1 and 4, and then I'll be back after that. I think we're going to have the Truth Booth back. I have not heard anything yet from our folks in Madison. They're supposed to bring it up so people can come by and be able to just talk a little bit about Central Wisconsin, what they enjoy about our area, and just get a chance to learn more about the folks here in Central Wisconsin. So, again, if you have an opportunity at the Wisconsin Valley Fair, come on by. We are in the Northwest Wing. I forget what the name of the building is, but it's the big one right in the middle. You know, you see it going up high, and there's a lot of other folks there with their booths, and you can check out. But come by the Northwest Wing and say hello to us as we'll be out there throughout the course of the morning and the afternoon into the early evening in Marathon Park.
So, indeed, absolutely.
All right, so thank you again, Ian, and it's time to continue. As I like the fact that Anya Hannington has been able to remember that. I said, just come on in when you get here, and you popped into the studio like Sean Wright would do to talk about the Grand Theater and the Performing Arts Foundation. And Anya, the marketing and communications coordinator for the Grand Theater and the PAF, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Where's Sean these days?
Oh, yeah, Sean, he's all over the place, but he had an appointment today.
I understand.
To handle, so.
No, absolutely, but again, this time of year, and we were just talking about we're going to be out at the Wisconsin Valley Fair. Does that make for a quieter week over at the Grand Theater? Because there's sometimes when there are big activities going on in the area, you guys you don't want to compete per se with a lot of the big events, do you?
No, absolutely not. We want everyone to enjoy everything that's going on in the area. So the fair is a time that we get to just hang out. I mean, we're working hard, but there's no shows or anything happening. So.
It's that time of year, though, again. It's sort of, we talked previously about how nowadays there's a less of a, what you call a downtime, a dark time at the Grand, but this still is the time to kind of reset, get ready for the new season, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely it is. We've got some work going on in our Great Hall right now, getting the floors redone. So that's great, so that when everyone comes in for our first set of shows in the new season, we have a show coming up in August that's almost sold out, so I'm not going to talk too much about it because there's like 30 tickets left. But, you know, coming in September when we have like the Ozark Mountain Daredevils and Daniel O'Donnell and Who's Live Anyway, those are our first three shows of September, and they're all really, really fun and exciting. But like the Great Hall will be basically all brand new, the nice new floor kind of, or like not new floor, but, you know, clean and shiny.
Well, that's something I imagine that's very important for the folks over at the Grand. It is a historic venue, but that also means that you have to stay ahead of the curve, don't you, in terms of making sure that any issues come up, they are taken care of very quickly. I mean, wonderful to have a venue like that, but I imagine there's some challenges as well.
Oh, absolutely. Our team is always working really hard to keep ahead of that and to fix everything that needs to be fixed. But also this stuff does take, support from the community. So we're so, so grateful for everyone who donates to the Grand. That just helps us out so much and lets us do things like, you know, replace an HVAC system if we have to do that, or take care of the floor. Like, you know, previously we did a lighting project in 2022, and all of that is done through the support of the people in the community, and we just are so grateful.
And I know you're way too young to remember, but I grew up in this area. I was going to school in the late 80s, and it was during that era that the Grand Theater was not used very much, and they actually had a big renovation. Folks donated a lot of money, and they had a huge renovation, and it's really been an incredible turnaround, because that building was there for so many years, but then it got a little bit into disrepair, and a lot of folks stepped up big time. And since then, as we talk about all the time, the folks that come and see so many shows, it's truly been a great partnership between the people at the Grand and the people of the community, hasn't it?
Absolutely, it has.
We're going to come back in just over a minute and talk a little bit about comedy over at the Grand Theater. Again, great variety in terms of the shows, but a lot of great comedy coming to the Grand Theater. We're going to talk about that with Anya Hannington from the Grand Theater and Performing Arts Foundation. Coming up, the time is almost 9:19. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can join us as well by going to facebook.com, go to the Bow Falls Radio page, and be able to see a video stream of what we're doing here on the program. Again, every other Tuesday, we get a chance to talk about what's happening at the Grand Theater and Performing Arts Foundation here in Wausau. And today, joined by the Marketing and Communications Coordinator, Anya Hannington. And we talk often about the great variety that there is in terms of the productions and the performances that come to the Grand. But you want to talk a little bit today about some of the comedy. And that's really, some of the folks that you're able to get. I mean, you've had some incredibly big names. I remember in the last year, Charlie Behrens was back for some sold-out shows. But generally, and a lot of these popular artists come back as well. And I think you mentioned the Who's Line folks. They've been here in the past. They come back. It says a lot about, number one, what you guys are able to do at the Grand, that they want to come back. And it also says that you seem to have a pretty good feel about what the people want to have. But you have some really good comedy coming again for the new season.
Yeah, so like I said, like you said, Who's Live Anyway is coming back. And they are Such a fun group. These are the performers from the show Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah, I said Whose Line Is Who's Live? Yeah. Who's Live?
Who's Live? So this is Ryan Stiles and Greg Proops, Jeff B. Davis, and Joel Murray. Those are the cast members who are coming. They do a live show. Just, it's very similar to what you see, you know, on TV, but it's with a you as the audience. You get to maybe come up on stage, you get to give suggestions. It is such a fun show. It has been to the Grand a couple different times.
Mm-hmm.
That is on Saturday, September 21st. So it's a Saturday. You should definitely be coming out because you don't have that work in the morning, hopefully. And it's going to be a great show. And then another really exciting show, sort of if you're a fan of improv comedy, that's coming up, that is also a return that's been here before, is Hip-Prov, which is an improv under hypnosis show. And that is with Colin Mockery, also from Whose Line Is It Anyway, but doing his own bit here, with the hypnotist Asad Mechi. And this show works, you volunteer, it's all volunteer based, and you can be called up on stage and you will be hypnotized. And then the people who are most receptive to that hypnosis are then kept on stage to do some improv comedy with Colin Mockery. So it's really incredibly, like, a fascinating concept that I'm incredibly excited to see happen, and I hope a lot of people come.
That is, you know, talk about comedy without a net. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that Colin Mockery would have the trust to do something. It's one thing working with the guys, like, you know, with like Greg Proops and the other guys from Whose Line, but now to be working with somebody from the crowd, I mean, that's incredible stuff. And you said Whose Live is coming up. It's hard to believe when you talk about tomorrow's August.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it really is coming quickly. And it's really, and something you were saying to me during our 1 minute timeout is that, you know, folks sometimes, I can get the tickets. It's always better to try to get them early, especially for popular arts, for popular artists and popular acts that like these that have proven to be, you know, that the community will come out and see.
Absolutely. It is always better to plan ahead and try to get your tickets in advance. You never know what's going to be available, you know, a month out, 2 weeks out, right, a couple days out. The Whose Live, I think, has sold out previously. I mean, we've had...
And on a Saturday, too.
On a Saturday.
As you said, good luck trying to, in the days before that, say, oh, I got Saturday off, I'm going to go...
Yeah.
Odds are you're not going to get a ticket.
Especially if you want to be down on that main floor,
right,
and get called up on stage, maybe. You know, you want to act fast, right?
Yeah, exactly right. So, and also, I guess, generally, as you look forward to the new season and talking about tickets, and again, during the course of the summer, after you make the announcement of the season, and you have the block for the folks that why is my mind blanking out? What's the terminology?
The season subscribers?
Subscribers, yeah. Yes. You have the subscribers who get that first opportunity to choose their tickets, their seats, mm-hmm, and then, of course, you sell individual shows after that. Subscribers, again, we've talked about this with Sean and yourself, that this... become a subscriber, you're not asked to get 12 shows or 14 shows. It's 4 shows. And when you have upwards of, what is it, 40 shows during the season when it's all said and done, because you add shows as it goes along, that's not a whole lot, basically, over a year's time, one per quarter almost. It's really worth it, isn't it, to become a subscriber?
I definitely think so. There are also, you know, I mentioned this before, but being a subscriber, it's not at this point in the year, if you haven't done it yet and you're like, oh, well, I missed that early seating block, there's still all these benefits with getting pre-sale access to these newly announced shows. We've had, you know, Home Free was just announced last week and went on sale. And, you know, if you really wanted tickets to that show, there are still tickets left, but you could have got tickets before they went on sale as a subscriber. So that is just a huge benefit. And then as well, also getting discounts, 5 to 50, up to 15%, starting about 5%, depending on how many shows you get. And that the discount holds for shows that you add on that are part of our season as well. If you pick 4 and then later, like, oh, I also really want to add on Hip-Prov because I heard that lady talk about it. It sounds great. You still get a discount on that show.
And what's the best way of becoming a subscriber? I mean, is there any hoops you have to go through or anything like that?
The best way to do it is, well, I mean, they're all great ways, but you can do it online. If you go just onto grandtheater.org, there's just a button right on top of our website that says, you know, click here to start your season subscription, and you can do that online, super easy. It automatically takes you to a cart where you pick your shows, your discounts applied. Or you can give us a call or visit us, especially if maybe you've already made some ticket purchases and you're realizing, like, wait, I think I did order four shows. Call us and our ticket staff. They're the best people in the whole world, and they will help you out, and they will help you get a season subscription going. So I always support giving us a call or visiting us, because, like, that's the best way for us to help you, because we can answer any questions.
Old time service. You love to hear about the old time service. And again, I mean, it was always exciting as well, because, as you say, I mean, you add shows. I mean, you make the big announcement at the start of the summer, say, okay, here's what's happening in 2024, 2025. But there's always shows that seem to pop up as you continue. And it's always great to be able to have the opportunity to get the best seats. And as you said, get those discounts as well. But again, that doesn't mean that for folks out there, hey, you have a show or two shows that you want to see, individual shows, it's always, again, best to get those tickets early.
Absolutely.
And again, anything else on your mind that we want to mention before we wrap things up here today?
Well, I know I mentioned a little bit about the Ozark Mountain Daredevils, who will be the first show, really, of the 2024-2025 season. This is their farewell tour. This is their last tour they're doing. It's called When It Shines. They are coming on Friday, September 13th. Just a really incredible opportunity to have this wonderful rock band come to the Grand before they say bye. So definitely you should get your tickets to that. Check us out. You can call us at 715-842-0988 or visit www.grandtheater.org for your tickets.
And it's theater, E-R, not R-E.
Correct.
Make sure you get it right, E-R.org. So, Anya Hannington, thank you again for coming on by. Enjoy the rest of this very warm week, and we'll talk again real soon.
Thank you for having me.
The time is 9:28. We got ourselves an information update coming up next, and then we'll continue to talk about the arts. We'll be joined by Michael Andrews of the South Beach Chamber Ensemble. Talk about some shows coming up this weekend featuring piano trios. We'll give you the information on that and talk to Michael coming up after a news update here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:35, and we've been talking a lot about the arts today, talking about the Grand Theater in the last segment, and now for the second week in a row, very happy to welcome back to the program Michael Andrews from the South Beach Chamber Ensemble.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Absolutely. It was great to have you last week, and I know you had a couple of shows last weekend, and sounds like they went pretty well.
Yeah, we always play with high school string quartets, so that was our most out of the move last Saturday at the UU Church. And they were great. They were really, really great. You know, working with them at the Wausau Conservatory, you know, we really have a strong music program here in Wausau ever since I was a kid many years ago. And the Wausau Conservatory is doing a brilliant job in keeping music alive for all ages.
And the show is not done. You got three more big productions, but in a different genre, would you say?
Exactly. You know, last week was... emphasis was on string quartets, you know, Mendelssohn and Shostakovich. And this week, we're doing piano trios by Amy Beach and Beethoven. And we're really happy to have Lee A back. When we first found her many years ago, Molly Roseman said, oh, you should try Lee A Tanaka. And she was studying at Stevens Point. And we just love working with her. And we're so glad that she's here today.
Let me make a proper welcome to Legate. Thank you for coming on in.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And you said it sounds like this has been a relationship that you've had for a while. How long have you worked together?
Well, I was an undergrad student, and now I'm a postgraduate with doctor's degree, so it's definitely more than 10 years, right? Yeah, I lived in Minnesota for 10 years, and it was before then, so it should be 12 or so years.
Wow, yeah.
That's crazy.
And she just came back from her tour of Japan, oh. So she's an international star.
Let me ask you again, right now, because you just said you tour Japan, you don't live in this area. What brings you back to work with this group?
Well, so 16 or so years ago, I was studying at UW Stevens Point, and I, you know, from South Beach up north and other things, I just kept having little engagements here and there. And yeah, I taught at UW Stevens Point for one semester, last semester. And I have a family here in Stevens Point. Mm. So I keep coming back for job, for my personal life, for breaks. And Wausau, Stevens Point, Central Wisconsin area has been my home away from Japan, you know.
Let's talk about let's first talk about the schedule for this week, just to line it up, and then we'll discuss what you're going to be doing. But it's three different shows.
We have three different shows in three different cities. We're doing tomorrow night at the Woodson Art Museum. We've been there for 18 years, and we love playing there. The art on the walls, and they have a great piano. So that's tomorrow night, the Woodson at 6 p.m. And then in Minocqua on Friday at 7 p.m., we're playing at St. Matthias Episcopal Church. And then Saturday is our last concert, and it's 4 o'clock at the Chestnut Center for the Arts in Marshfield. And we're happy to be back there, because actually when we first went there, we fell in love with the piano. So it's a great, great space.
Let's talk about the grouping, because we got two-thirds of you here this morning to talk about it. First of all, Michael, what part of the trio are you?
Well, I am the cello player. So a piano trio is a violin, that was last week, a violin, cello, and piano. So Sheena Gutierrez, who is our violinist from Miami, she's playing this week. And Lie obviously is playing the piano, and I'm playing the cello.
I got to tell you, when you say that Sheena Gutierrez, the violinist, is from Florida, you must do something right to have folks come all the way up here to Central Wisconsin to be able to perform for the folks here. That's just fantastic. And again, we talked a bit about the whole idea of South Beach. I mean, it's in your title last week. But for folks that may not be aware, again, about your background, you're somebody that's from here, has gone to Florida, but yet comes back every year.
Right, right. And the thing about our players coming in from Miami, it's not a hardship to be in Wisconsin in the summer. So, and the beauty in the Eau Claire Dells and Rim Mountain and, you know, the Wisconsin River, it's beautiful here. That's why I come back every year. And, you know, we, you know, Sheena loves it here. She and her husband come up and they spend some time here, and it's really beautiful.
And the third member, Leah, is the pianist yes. as part of it. Could you talk a little bit? You just mentioned, you know, you started at UW Stevens Point. What is your career now? We heard that you were on tour in the Far East. Could you talk a little bit about what your career is now?
Yes. So my career, the main thing is teaching. I am the instructor at the University of Arizona down in Tucson right now. So teaching is a big part of what I do, but I consider myself a concert pianist. What that entails is both solo and chamber performances. So I do these chamber ensembles, and I also have solo concerts. And a lot of chamber music is really piano heavy. It's there are a lot of notes for pianists. There is not really a single piano trio that I've written that are easy for pianists. Mm. So when you're thinking about pianists, it really covers a lot of different type of professions, but mine really is a big thing of performing solo and chamber music and teaching all ages, but now mainly college level.
We're talking to Michael Andrews and Leah Tanaka, who are part of South Beach Chamber Ensemble. They will be performing Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Wausau, Minocqua, and Marshfield. Beethoven and Beach. Let's talk a little bit about what folks are going to hear this weekend. Beethoven and Beach. Michael, again, basically, Beethoven is obviously a name that's one of the most famous in music, but maybe a little idea of what folks are going to
Sure. Well, the Beethoven, most people know who Beethoven is, but he wrote three piano trios. This is his Opus 1, his sort of first published works. And he was, you know, he was, at one point he was not known, so he was trying to get his name out there. So he thought that these piano trios were good enough to be published. And he had a significant influence on the piano trio form because he actually added a fourth movement. There used to be three movements, but he added a scherzo. So it starts out with a sort of rollicking first movement, and the second movement is very beautiful and slow. And then the third movement is the scherzo, which in Italian means a joke. So it's very tricky because it has all these little grace notes and turns and everything. And then the last movement is really beautiful. It starts out with a little piano solo, an octave leap. And it's a very stimulating piece. And we're really happy to play that. That will be after the Amy Beach. And Lie is going to talk a little bit about Amy Beach.
Yes, Amy Beach Piano Trio. It's my first time playing it, and I don't think it's played that much. As you know, Amy Beach is a woman composer, even though I don't think she would enjoy being called that. I think she enjoys being called just a composer because her works are amazing. So Beethoven is Opus 1, so that's his earliest work that he published. And Amy Beach's Piano Trio is Opus 150. It's actually the last piece that she has performed publicly. So she started out as a performing pianist, just like myself. And when she got married, that performing career kind of had to come to a stop because, you know, women back in that time. And and she started to compose more. Her Opus 1 was on 1885. That was the year that she got married. But when her husband and her mother both passed away at the same time, she kind of went back to performing more. And she started to go into this MacDowell colony that's in New Hampshire. And apparently that's a really big artist residency that is still going strong today. And that's where Bernstein also went, and Copland. They all went to that residency to kind of compose and really do a lot of artistic things, which is kind of like what we do here, right? We come up to North, do artistic things, just getting away from the busy city life. And that is where she composed this Opus 150. And in just 15 days, she composed that using some of her older materials. And, you know, and that was just a few years she passed away. She performed it in Brooklyn. And 3 days after she performed this work, she became extremely ill. And she later said that was the last performance I ever performed. And I have a hard time admitting that. After battling with that, she passed away. But this really is charming, experimental. It has a harmony that is sometimes unsettling, but she was largely self-taught because women back then didn't really have the privilege of being granted to go to Europe, go to Germany and study with master composers. She had to just listen and study the scores and just found her own language, which I think she really did find her own language. It's spiritual sometimes. It has American sound. It also has some Irish sound, and there's a lot of impressionism in there. There's a mix of a lot of things that she experimented that became her own language. And I think in Opus 150, which is a 60 minutes long piece that is just really charming, has four movements, you can really experience who she was like and her warmth, her charms. And I really enjoy playing her piece.
We have a little more than 2 minutes remaining, and talking to you, hearing what you were just saying, Lie, I want to ask you both, how challenging is the music for you as the performers, and also how challenging is it for the audience?
I think the Beach, as you know, she alluded to, the harmonies can be really complex. And she doesn't go where where your ear thinks she's going to go. So it's sort of surprising and really interesting at the same time. You know, Beethoven, everybody knows Beethoven's sound, but I think we have a great contrast here with an American composer, a woman, who's underperformed. I mean, she has great music. And then Beethoven, who's probably overperformed. Mm. But this piano trio, it's not performed very often. So we're really happy to play both of them at the same time, give a contrast.
And the chamber music is really fun to watch. You know, we have to watch each other. We communicate. There's a body language. There's a vibe going on between the three of us. We take different roles during the time. Violin takes melody, and then cello takes over, and then I come in with that. I think just to be lost in that conversation between three musicians is always fun to watch.
Is based on that, maybe a little free flowing, is every performance different?
Absolutely.
Oh yes, yeah. You know, the audience is part of it. You know, when we play for an audience, there's an interaction there between listener and performer, and you know, especially if we have an overflowing crowd that's really enthusiastic, I think we play better because we interact with the vibe of the audience.
Again, Thursday here in Wausau, Woodson Art Museum at 6 p.m. Friday, you can head up to Minocqua, St. Matthias Episcopal Church at 7 p.m. Saturday, Chestnut Center for the Arts in Marshfield at 4 p.m. Michael Andrews, Lee Tanaka, both of you, thank you again for coming in. Have a wonderful weekend of performing this incredible music. And again, thank you very much for sharing today.
Thank you so much.
We're going to come back and wrap things up here this morning. Our history lesson, Ian will have his number for the day quiz, and we'll wrap things up coming up in just a moment. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It is Wednesday, the 31st day of July of 2024, day number 213 of this year. There are 153 days left in 2024, and plenty of famous events have occurred on July 31st, this day in history. On this date in 1971, Apollo 15 astronauts became the first to ride in a lunar rover. On this date in 1980, fictional character Harry Potter was born. I don't know how to figure that out, but apparently that's what it tells me here. On this date in 1981, a 7-week strike by Major League Baseball players came to an end. On this date in 1995, the Walt Disney Company agreed to acquire Capital Cities ABC in a $19 billion deal. On this date, in 2007, the Boston Celtics obtained former MVP and 10-time All-Star Kevin Garnett in a 7-for-1 deal with the Minnesota Timberwolves, then the NBA's biggest ever trade for one player. And it turned out well for Boston as Garnett helped them to an NBA championship. And another Harry Potter-related history note. On this date in 2016, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, a play by Jack Thorne with contributions by J.K. Rowling, was published worldwide at midnight. Some famous folks are celebrating their birthdays today. Michael Biehn, he was Kyle Reese in the original Terminator. Remember the first Terminator movie? He played Kyle Reese. Who
I do remember that, yep.
Was sent back to save Sarah Connor. And, of course, they fell in love. But and then that led to John Connor. And then that led to more movies. But Michael Biehn from The Terminator and also Aliens is 68 years old today. Dirk Blocker of Brooklyn Nine-Nine is 67. Mark Cuban, former owner of the Dallas Mavericks, also Shark Tank guy on TV. Yes. Mark Cuban, 66. Wesley Snipes, 62 years old today. Mm-hmm. Another Harry Potter-related note,
yes.
Author J.K. Rowling. It's her birthday. So not only is Harry Potter's birthday, but the author of the Harry Potter books, J.K. Rowling, is 59.
Happy birthday to her. I really enjoy the Harry Potter books.
Actor Dean Cain, best known for his role as Clark Kent and Superman in Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. Dean Cain is 58. Actor B.J. Novak of The Office is 45. And actor Rico Rodriguez of Modern Family played the son of the, I forget what the character's name, the Ed O'Neill character and the, but Rico Rodriguez played the younger member of the cast of Modern Family. He's now 26 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Some special events. It is Cotton Candy Day.
Mm.
We can definitely get that at the Wisconsin Valley Fair.
Absolutely.
It is Jump for Jelly Beans Day. It is Raspberry Cake Day. Mm. It is Shredded Wheat Day. It is Mutt Day. It is Spam Day. It is World Ranger Day. And it is Uncommon Instrument Awareness Day.
Oh, I can't say I've heard of that one before.
So if you have an uncommon instrument, be aware today. All right. It is time.
Yes.
For our number for the day quiz. And again, every weekday morning here on this program, we wrap up our program by talking about the number for the day. And as part of that, we give a quiz to Ian Welsh. We give Ian three different choices. So based on the math, he should get one out of three right.
Mm-hmm.
And based on the math, he should get 33%. And based on the math, he should get at least 2 out of 5 then to be a winning week.
Because absolutely.
2 out of 5 would be 40%. His record is 80%. So he still has a chance to match his record of 80% if he's able to get it right today,
mm-hmm.
get it right tomorrow, and then get it right on Friday. But our number for the day
has to do with mattresses.
Mattresses, okay. It is the amount in dollars that Americans spend on mattresses each year. So again, the amount in dollars that Americans spend on mattresses each year.
You said it was a big number.
It is a big number.
Okay.
Is the correct answer $3 billion?
That's a lot of money.
Is the correct answer $8 billion? Is the correct answer $13 billion? So A,
that's
B, and C.
That's quite a jump.
$3 billion, $8 billion, $13 billion. The amount in dollars that Americans spend on mattresses each year.
Each year.
Well,
$3 billion.
People buy a lot of mattresses.
$3 billion, $8 billion, or $13 billion. Each year. Okay. It's a big number.
Lots of mattresses.
I'm going to say, yeah, big number, lots of mattresses. I'm going to go with C. I'm going to go with 13 billion. I'm going with the biggest number.
All right.
That's my final answer.
All right. The amount in dollars that Americans spend on mattresses each year is $13 billion.
Yes.
Two in a row.
Wow, that's a lot of money you spend on mattresses.
You're on a pretty good roll recently.
Yeah, I've been getting better.
You got another winning week?
I'm not overthinking as much.
No, but now you got a chance if you can get two more to match your all-time best week.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You can crow about it when you're over at the Wisconsin Valley Fair this afternoon to the folks that talk to you. So
I did have a couple people yesterday who recognized me as being the guy I just
the number guy,
the number of the day quiz. I didn't have anybody quiz me on their own numbers yet.
Very good. But yeah, if you want a chance to say hello to Ian, if you want a chance to say hello to me, we'll be out at the Wisconsin Valley Fair in the Northwest Wing booth in the middle of the park. I'll be there coming up in a little bit. Ian will be there from 1 to 4. I'll be there back after 4 o'clock. So hopefully we'll be able to say hello to a good number of folks out there.
Absolutely.
Well, Ian, have a good rest of your day, and we'll catch you at the park later on.
Absolutely. You too, Chad. Happy hump day, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
We'll be back tomorrow. We'll start with Pat Kreitlow, and we'll have our weekly North Star Nose. A lot on the plate tomorrow, so hopefully you'll be back with us from 8 until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Coming up next, it's Matt and Air on Air, right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.